All right, it's the Keep to the City Yankees podcast, and the Yankees win the series against the Phillies 2-1 after winning the opening series against the Giants 2-1. So a 4-2 record, two series wins for the Yankees so far this season. A good start overall. The Wednesday game against the Phillies, kind of as advertised, with Cole and Nola both going, the two aces, low scoring game. The Yankees were able to get a couple runs early, hang on there. Cole was dominant again. The only earned run allowed is now the only earned run he's allowed in two starts, and that came as a walk on a pitch timer violation by Cole and Trevino, and that walk came around to score, but the Yankees win 4-2. The only real gripe to have in that game was in the bottom of the eighth inning when Franchy Cordero was allowed to hit for himself. As a left-handed hitter who has trouble hitting any pitching in the major leagues, let alone left-handed pitching, went to the plate for himself, batted for himself against Soto on the Phillies, a very, very good left-handed pitcher, and he struck out on three pitches. And as Michael Kay said on the broadcast, it was a non-competitive at-bat, and it's the leader right now of all non-competitive at-bats. It's the number one for the Yankees. And with how weak and feeble of an at-bat it was, I don't know that anyone will have a less competitive at-bat this season, even with 156 games left. And in that moment, Boone had two choices. Gleyber Torres was on second with two outs. The Yankees were holding on to a two-run lead, trying to add an insurance run for the ninth. Boone could have gone to Giancarlo Stanton, who had an unnecessary day off on Wednesday. Could have used him as a pinch hitter, but decided to give him a full day off, as if that one at-bat was going to tire him out. Or he could have gone to the switch-hitting Aaron Hicks, who would have flipped around to the right side, causing Soto to face a righty. He didn't. So we learned a lot about Aaron Boone and Aaron Hicks and their relationship this week and what it entails for Hicks' future. I don't know. But if you're not going to use Hicks in that moment and give it up and just have a non-competitive at-bat from Cordero, then why is Hicks on the team? Because he's not allowed to play center field. We know that because he hasn't started in center field in six games. When Isaiah Kiner-Falefa started two games in center field, despite never playing the outfield in his major league career to that point. Hicks has as many starts, period, as Cordero, who's barely on the team, traded for just for a roster spot right before opening day. He's likely to be gone the second Harrison Bader comes back. And so Hicks has had two starts in six games and a pinch hit appearance. That's it. He's appeared in three games, started two of them, is 0-7 with three strikeouts and a walk. He's been bad when he's played. He hasn't played because he's been bad in the past. He's complaining about his playing time openly. It's just this dark cloud hanging over this season. The fact that I'm talking about it, the fact that everyone's talking about it, the stadium crowd's booing him, Boone has to answer questions about it. It shouldn't be part of the season because Aaron Hicks shouldn't be part of the season. When I was at Game 5 against the Guardians and he was helped off the field with the knee injury, that should have been it. That should have been the last time he ever played for the Yankees. But they're so scared of eating this $30 million owed to him, as if they're not going to make that back in beer sales in the first game of the next homestand. They're the ones who gave him the deal. They weren't dealt this hand. They dealt this hand to themselves. It was a regrettable decision. The moment it was made, it was first guessed the moment it was made. It's been a disastrous contract since the second it was extended. And now it's becoming a focal point of a season where the Yankees are off to a good start. They're contending for a championship. They're trying to end a 13-year championship drought. And we're talking about Aaron Hicks in games he's not even playing. Because if he can't bat in that situation, what is he doing on the roster? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. You could say maybe they're trying to get him so upset that he'll accept a trade even after his 10-5 rights kick in, because it doesn't seem like they'll be able to move him before then, or they would have moved him by now. And even once they kick in, I don't think they'll be able to move him. I think this only ends in release. And I don't know how he gets from where he is right now, where he's complaining about playing time, questioning Boone's decisions, not actually playing. I don't know how he goes from that to playing, because he's not part of the A lineup right now. And once Bader comes back, he's further removed from being part of the A lineup. I don't know how he gets back to any semblance of consistent playing time. And when he does play, it's not good. It's not good at all. And Joe Randazzo, who's been a part of Bronx Pinstripes, he has the New York Porch Sports site. He joined me to talk about Hicks and you know, the state of the Yankees as a whole, but mainly about Hicks because it's a storyline right now. It's part of this season, and it shouldn't be. So let's get to it.
Joe, how's it going today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Neil.
Yeah, no problem. I know everyone in Yankees world knows you. You know, you're kind of a Yankees Twitter legend. A lot of the talk lately, I think it's not really, I guess, lately, but for the last couple of years, it's just kind of coming to a head now, is with Hicks, who I've never been a fan of. I know, I feel like the largest portion of the faction of Yankees fans isn't necessarily a fan of, but it seems like kind of everyone, even those who believed in him in the past, are finally turning on Hicks.
So for me with Hicks, see, I originally liked the trade. I thought Hicks was good in 17. I thought he was good in 18. 18, he was great. Yeah. I mean, I understood the deal at the time. $10 million for 7 years wasn't terrible. But then obviously, second he got paid, it kind of went downhill from there. I mean, what he did in 2020 in that 60-game season, it wasn't groundbreaking. But if he gave that every year, I would take it. But this version of him, it's just too much. And, you know, the fans have turned on him. He has all the quotes that people get on, whether it's taken out of context or not. It's like he's like become the wrestling villain at this point. Yeah. And he's really not turning the crowd over. Like, I don't see him pulling a Julius Randle. Like, I thought Julius Randle went from the bottom. Like, he was flipping off the crowd, if we remember that. And now he's, you know, now he's beloved. He's hurt. He'll probably be back. But I don't see him pulling a Randle.
Yeah, and you mentioned the trade, which I think everyone's on board with. I mean, they traded John Ryan Murphy essentially for him, who, you know, became nothing. And the Yankees thought they were getting their next Bernie Williams, a switch hitting center fielder who they could tap into his potential that he never realized with the Twins prior. And like you said, yeah, at times it was there. Maybe it was a product of the juiced baseball of a few years ago, but what we've seen from him ever since the extension, just missing the majority of Yankees games since then. In 2020, he played nearly the full shortened season, but would have missed 100 games if it had started on time from surgery. 2021, he has season-ending wrist surgery. Last year was just unplayable to the point that he was benched outright several times. You know, when I was at game 5 at the stadium against Cleveland, I thought when he was getting carried off the field, that was it. I didn't expect him to ever be a Yankee again. And he's back and he's here and he's not playing. And then when he does play, he's atrocious. And it's just odd because he didn't start the whole Giants series. He complains about it. He gets to start the first two games of the Philly series, doesn't play well. And then on Wednesday, I think we kind of got the most telling fact about him, in the sense that Boone had a chance to pinch hit for Franchy Cordero against Soto in the eighth inning on Wednesday. He could have gone to Stanton, who was getting unnecessary day off, or he could have gone to Hicks, but he stayed with Cordero, the lefty, against the lefty, and it went as expected, a three-pitch strikeout. Michael Kay called it a non-competitive at bat. It was embarrassing. And Hicks, if he's not able to play in that situation, I don't know what's expected of him at this point.
I don't know. And like, I wonder too, because like you said, Aaron Boone didn't play him. And I remember last year, do you remember the quote he had about Boone?
Right, yeah, where he said he said blah blah blah, and
Dave Roberts or something like that.
Right, yeah, how so Joey Gallo was like untapped, like finding his untapped potential or whatever. Yeah, and you know, they clearly have a thing, and I always thought that Hicks was a Boone favorite, and maybe that changed it. That quote you mentioned there,
me too.
Yeah, and in the offseason, he had another where they asked him about last year and the benching in September when he misplayed those back to back balls against the Rays, and his quote was, they asked him what Boone said to him, and he said, Boone said it wasn't about that. And Hicks said blah, 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 like in his quote, like kind of being sarcastic about Boone. And then Boone got asked about it and said, like, I never said that. So clearly there's a rift there, too. I don't know what the goal is here, because if the guy can't, if he's starting 2 out of 6 games and Franchy Cordero, who's not a major league player, is starting 2 out of 6 games, Cordero's hitting in situations against lefties against him, Kiner Falefa, who's not an outfielder, starting over him. I don't know, like, just release the guy. I like, at this point, I don't know what else there is to do.
No, it's like you were saying, they would rather go with Frankie Cordero over Hicks. I wonder, I know it's probably, this is probably isn't happening when the game's going on. I wonder if Boone is like, you know what? Fuck this guy. I'm going to leave Cordero in.
Yeah, and it might, right. It might be that. And it's kind of like, at this point, certainly Hicks is only a Yankee because he's owed $30 million. If he was making much less single digit millions or something, he would be gone. Some other team would have traded for him, or they would just release him and be fine with it. But they're not releasing him because of the owed money for the next 3 years. And he's just taking up a roster spot. He brings no value to the team. If he's not playing against left-handed pitching, if he's not batting over Cordero, if he can't play center field, which is the position they gave him the $70 million to play over Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who entering this week had never played the outfield in his life outside of spring training 2 weeks ago. I just don't get it. I mean, I don't know how he goes from where he is now to regular playing time.
I don't see it either. And man, I just can't imagine 2018 Hicks is hitting 28 bombs. He's getting on base at almost a 40% clip. I don't remember what his OBP was, but it was high that year. And now they're letting Isaiah Kiner-Falefa on, who has no power, perennial 300 slugging percentage hitter, 300 OBP. And they're like, you know what? This is the better option. And it's sad because I really did like Hicks. Like, I know right now we're kind of beating on him, but I was a Hicks fan. I love the way he took at-bats. He had long at-bats, see five or six pitches, and now even that part of his game is gone. The defense is gone. It's like there's really no value here. And he's complaining on top of it. And I guess I can empathize. Maybe in his position, I would probably not feel great. Like, I can't speak on what I go to the media like that if I'm asked the questions, but I know he's miserable. Fans are miserable. We're miserable right here. We'd like to talk about anything else. I mean, the team is 4-2, but this seems like the thing that's on the top of our heads right now.
Yeah, and I think that's the best point, is that this team is 4-2. They have championship aspirations. There's, you know, Judge is back. He's going to be a lifetime Yankee. Volpe's finally called up. They're doing the right thing with their young players. And you have this cloud kind of looming over the team where this is the storyline. I mean, the fans are just crushing him in home games. The entire media is talking about it. You know, the two of us as fans, we're talking about it. Like, this guy who doesn't impact games, not only because he doesn't play, but when he does play, he doesn't impact the games because he's not good. He's become the story of a season where this team's trying to win the World Series. That's not good for the entire organization.
No, it's not. It reminds me of Joey Gallo last year. Remember, they went on that incredible run, and the talk on, like, the Michael Kay show and the fan is like, all right, we have to get rid of Gallo, but here's this team ascending. It's really good. But then there's that one eyesore in the background, the elephant in the room. And I guess that's who we are as New Yorkers. We got to find the one thing to complain about. But it just feels like every year this team is so close, but there's always that thing that they have to tweak, and it just never gets done. I guess that's the crux of it all. We see Hicks there and we think, well, he's just going to be there all year.
Right. And it seems like there always has to be that guy on the team. And, you know, it was Chase Headley. It's Hicks. It was Gallo. You know, 20 years ago, you know, it was Rondell White. Like, it was Raul Mondesi. There's always this guy on the team. Chris Carter. There's always a guy who's like the last guy that fans like, whether it's position player or bullpen. It just seems like this team has too many of those guys. And if you think back to how unlikable the 2013, 14, 15, 16 Yankees were, and then they had the youth movement in 17, but then those baby bombers, either they got hurt, they didn't pan out, they got traded. That team kind of became hated the last 2 years, and we're starting to trend in the right direction where there's going to be another youth movement around the players that fans do like, whether it's Judge or Stanton or, you know, Rizzo, and now Volpe's here, and hopefully Peraza's here soon. But this team still has the stink of Hicks. It still has Kiner-Falefa, who's not a Major League Baseball player. It has Donaldson, who just can't hit. And there's just a bad vibe still remaining from, like, last year and the disappointment, and even the year before.
I agree. It's like that carryover from the ALCS where, you know, we saw Josh Donaldson striking out in every at-bat. Even though we've started well, it still kind of feels a little off. Like, the balance in the universe just isn't right now.
Right. And they're starting out well because Judge, because Rizzo, because Stanton, because LeMahieu, like the guys you expect. But it's that daily 5, 6, 7, 8 hitters who are just atrocious. Like every night I expect those hitters to go like 0 for 15 combined. And like they need to get out of that because we saw, you know, we've seen last year, we've seen for over a decade of postseasons now, you can't just have a huge half your lineup hole to win in the like win in the postseason. Like it you need those guys like to contribute. Right. We can't expect LeMahieu and Judge to hit every single game.
And think of like the second half of 2022. Feels like the whole team goes down and we it just feels like we have a lack of depth. Like it feels like if guys start getting hurt again, we'll see IKF starting every day. We'll see Hicks starting every day. Josh Donaldson, who's never been hurt in his career, I'm sure he'll be back in 2 days. And he'll be starting every day. Well, Josh Johnson's always hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
He'll magically be healthy for the first time in his career. Like, that's my fear, that we'll see those guys playing every day if guys start getting hurt.
Yeah, certainly. And I think, you know, what worries me is, you know, there's people who would tell me to shut up. I'm complaining the team's 4-2. But I hate when people say, like, it's a new season, it's this. No, just because there was no baseball for 6 months doesn't change who these guys are and how they play baseball. Like, the last game of the ALCS and March 30th doesn't just give everybody a free pass. Like, it's a continuation each season. So, people would say, oh, you're complaining they're 4-2, this. But everything I think about the Yankees, I think about how it helps them win the World Series. So, like, what I think about after Game 6 is – how will that translate to October? And right now, the way they're built, hopefully it's not the way they're built, and hopefully they make moves across the year, like calling guys up or trades. But yeah, right now, you can't have a 5, 6, 7, 8 lineup like this.
Well, if you remember in 2021, that team had a horrendous April, you know, and that horrendous April, everyone's saying, well, you know, it's still the beginning of the year, but that year never felt right.
Right.
They had that 13-game winning streak, but then after that, they started losing again. It's like what that team was in April, by the time the end of the year rolled around and we lost in the wild card game, it was the same team. So, I mean, I think it's fair to have these complaints. I mean, we're not just like, what are we supposed to do, be excited that like Josh Donaldson is going to be playing third base until May or June? Hopefully that's how long it lasts. It's like, we have these issues and we're just being gaslit for no reason. Like there's no reason, like these are very credible issues. I understand there's like the very negative aspect of Yankee fans, but then there's also that super positive aspect where it's like, if you say anything negative, people get on you. And that to me is worse than the negatives. Like that drives me up a wall.
Right.
Sorry
about that. I was just going to say to your point, like if you say like Josh Donaldson is 0 for his last 13 with 7 strikeouts, people will say, why are you being negative? It's like, no, that's a fact. Like that's not my opinion. That's real data that happened.
That's the reality of the situation. We're just trying to accept reality here. Like, yeah, Judge is awesome. Yeah, Gleyber Torres is having an awesome year. He's like Ricky Henderson.
Right.
But that bottom half of the lineup, that it's still not good. It's still not good, and it could be an issue. And we've seen the lack of depth in the lineup be an issue in years prior, so I feel like our complaints are credible.
Well, you talk about Torres there, and I don't want to just make it all about Hicks and Donaldson and how terrible they are, but for Torres, that's a guy who, since the 2021 season ended when you know he couldn't play shortstop, they had to move him to second, he had a bad 2020, showed up to the spring training 2.0 out of shape, was bad in 2021, I thought they should move on from him. They did try to move on from him last year. They've admitted like they tried to trade for a starting pitcher at the deadline. They didn't. They kept him. They kept him to this offseason. And now he's here again, and he's having an outstanding week. I feel like people need to, you know, separate that it's 1 week compared to like 3 years of, you know, being a not, you know, consistently productive player. I'm cautiously optimistic that, hey, maybe this guy, he's 26. He's removed from the juice ball days of when he'd hit 38 home runs. And maybe he can settle in as, you know, a middle of the order bat, and the extension that everyone just thinks is inevitable, the Yankees won't give him. Maybe that changes things, but I'm not ready to just say like, I'm completely wrong about Torres. I want to be wrong. I want him to be great. I want the Yankees to win. But I'm not ready to just say, oh, you know, Torres is great again after six games.
I need to see it for the full year. Like, right. In terms of the six-game sample size, I'm over the moon. Because I'm with you. At the beginning of the year, I wanted Oswald Peraza to be the shortstop, Volpe the second baseman. Obviously, it didn't turn out that way. And with Gleyber playing well, for now it's for the best. But it's like what I was saying before about Julius Randle, you know? Here's a guy who he played well all year. I want to see that from Gleyber. I want to see Gleyber have the kind of redemption tour that Randle had. If by the end of the year he's playing well, I'll start thinking about an extension. But 162 is so long, man. You really just need to see more. I mean, who knows what this team will be in July?
Right. And for Torres, like last year, he was having a great year. And then there was a six-week period where he had the lowest OPS of any player in Major League Baseball. So, you know, the other shoe could drop at any moment. I hope it doesn't. I hope he has an MVP caliber year. That'd be awesome. I hope they extend him if he does that. But like you said, we have to see it first. You know, other things about this team through six games. I mean, overall, yeah, they won two series. They lost a game against the Giants that they could have won. They had a chance to win in the ninth. They gave away a game to the Phillies when Aaron Boone decided to put out a, you know, early March spring training lineup in a regular season game. But I think overall, you know, to this point, everyone should be happy, you know, mostly happy, but you can't be completely happy because there are still a lot of underlying issues here.
Yeah, there are. I mean, one thing I hope to see is, I don't even know how Peraza would fit, but I would hope Peraza ends up coming up soon. I mean, he's not going to play third base, and he probably wouldn't play every day. How do you feel about him coming up? This is something I've been thinking about the last few days, especially with Donaldson getting hurt. It's hard not to think about him.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves to be on the team. He destroyed AAA pitching last year, which got him called up to the majors. There's nothing left for him to gain at AAA other than to just play baseball every day. Like, he's not being challenged there anymore, so he should be on this team. The problem is the poor roster construction and roster management has left them with Hicks, who has no value, Cordero, who's not a major leaguer, who will be gone once Bader comes back, Kiner Falefa, who shouldn't be in the majors, Donaldson, who's there. All these guys, they're there because they're owed a lot of money, and that's just wrong. You should field the best possible 26-man roster that you can, and Peraza is part of that. The only issue, like you said, is where does he play? And you've got Torres at second. You've got LeMahieu moving around between first, second, and third. Volpe's at short. They won't move off Donaldson. So I don't know. I think, you know, ideally, I would love to see a five-man of Rizzo, LeMahieu, Torres, Peraza, Volpe. And, you know, one guy's always sitting and one guy's rotating or whatever. But that should be the infield that works. That would mean releasing Donaldson. Yeah, it should work. And that would mean getting rid of Donaldson and getting rid of Kiner Falefa. Two moves that should have happened long before now. But until someone gets hurt, I don't see Peraza, you know, being on this team unless someone gets released or hurt.
Man, when I don't know if you pay attention to the minor league games, but Peraza hit a double yesterday and I had to log off Twitter. I had to just turn off my phone because it's just thinking if I stay online more, I'm going to start writing paragraphs about how he doesn't belong in AAA.
Right.
This stuff kind of just ruins my night. I'm mostly a positive person, but when it comes to baseball and like professional wrestling, like my day will be ruined by very little things like a minor leaguer hitting a double.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, Joe, I thank you for taking the time to come on, talk some Hicks. You know, look forward to seeing some New York porch headlines about him, getting an extension or something. You know,
I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Thanks to Joe for taking the time to come on and talk Yankees baseball. The Yankees, a big series here. You know, their schedule gets a little harder now. And for me to say that going to Baltimore, that's usually when the schedule gets easier. But these aren't the Orioles you're used to. These aren't the Orioles where you can think about the Yankees winning 15-plus games against in the regular season. This is a much different Orioles team. And they were a dropped fly ball with two outs in the ninth away from winning the opening series in Boston. Then they go down to Texas and win two out of three there. They're strong. And if they ever get starting pitching, they'll be really strong and have the best Orioles team in nearly a decade now since, they were giving the Yankees fits more than a decade ago. So big series this weekend in Baltimore. Obviously, Thursday's game was rained out, so the opener for Baltimore, their home opener, is Friday. 305. Clark Schmidt gets the ball against Dean Kramer, who the Yankees have outstanding numbers against. Outstanding numbers against him. I expect the offense to show up on Friday. And there's been a lot of unnecessary days off, a lot of ridiculous rest already for guys. The Yankees are about to start 10 games in 10 days. You're going to see some really odd lineups as we get into this. You know, midweek next week, you'll start to see some spring training lineups again from Boone, which shouldn't be surprised about. It's still aggravating. Even though I know it's coming, even though I expect it, it's still frustrating. It's still ridiculous, but that's how it's going to be. So a big series in Baltimore this weekend. Yankees-Orioles begins on Friday. I'll be back after the game to talk about it. Thanks for listening. Talk to you after Friday's game.